All right. We're back with Brad Weston for North Okanagan Shuswap Freedom Radio, and we're going to carry on with our talk about common law and the BC Public Service Auditors and how that fits in with what we're talking about. So, Brad, pick it up from where we left off, or take it from where you want to start with this topic, and I'm sure it'll be just as interesting.
Indeed. We left off with the school district and what we did with the establishment of a true common law court and the issuance of a cease and desist order with what they were doing with the everything with the COVID restrictions, mask mandates, and all that sort of thing. And I wanted to share that if people go and take a look at the documentation and the wording and how it's done from the common law language. Mm-hmm. We have in place, our legal system has a language of its own. It's called legalese. They have a language of their own that's super confusing for the lay man, lay woman. Mm-hmm. And then we have common law language. And so I'm fully utilizing common law language myself. A lot of people call it quantum grammar. So for instance, I just shared with yourself while we're taking a break here, but a capital I used in the corporate legal system, when you write and refer to yourself as I, Brad Weston, that is you kind of affirming to the courts that you are a man or a woman with your head cut off, because it's a symbol of arms and legs, but you're saying that I am a man with my or a woman with my head cut off. So I have no voice. I can't think for myself. I can't speak for myself.
That's the capital I.
That's the capital I. And that's where representing comes in with utilizing a lawyer or whatnot, the third party, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can't speak for yourself. Mm-hmm. That's their world. The lowercase I utilize the lowercase I, and this is what's done in common law, because the lowercase I is a woman or man with their head on their shoulders. They can think for mm-hmm. themselves. They can speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. So when people go and look at these documents, they might look at it and go, oh, it's like it throws them off a bit because there's things that are highlighted or capitalized or, it's just done because it's common law language and it's overriding their legalese.
Got it.
And we have to look at things that words are spells. And that's literally spelling. It's a spell. Like you're casting a spell onto whatever you're dealing with or talking about. So we did that with our common law court. We did that with the school district. And I showed you those documents that we had, that huge stack of documents.
Yeah.
That's 5 years or 7 years dealing with my dad's estate, going nowhere. We have this where we set up our first common law court. Look at this. That's like 36 pages for the cease and desist order. Mm-hmm. And there's another maybe 10 pages that we have for supporting peers. And mind you, anybody who would like to can sign as a supporting peer signature for the school district or the whole public education system. They can actually sign in support of this cease and desist order. Mm-hmm. But look at the documentation. There's maybe 40, 50 pages total. It was over and done. By the time I put out the public notice of claim of right, it was a two-week process where people put up their hand and said, I'll hear this case. Mm-hmm. And then we put out the notice and set up the court. The court was mm-hmm. done in a day, over and done within 2 weeks.
Wow, with very little paperwork.
Very little paperwork, zero finances, zero cost to anybody involved. Mind you, people should be paid for their time, so like the jury should be getting like $100 each or something like that.
Well, in your time, so do you consider the time that you put into doing up all this documentation is donated? You've donated all that. I mean, no one paid you. You did this.
This is
out
my,
of the goodness
this is,
of your heart.
This is my.
It's your baby.
This is my.
Contribution
to society and to mankind, to humanity.
Very generous.
This is becoming my life, mm-hmm. and I'm falling in love with it. Mm-hmm. I definitely am. It feels good to be doing it. Mm-hmm. After we did the first one, there's a gentleman in Lumbee. His name is Roy Vieira. he contacted myself. He heard about this being done. He contacted myself and he said, hey, there's a young lady, a young woman. She's being held at the Vernon Jubilee Hospital under the Mental Health Act. Her name is Maya. She gave me permission to share her story. She's an incredible young woman. But he contacted me and asked, you know, will you help her? Can you help
her? Is she a minor?
No, she's 20.
A young adult.
She's a young adult. I believe she's 22. Mm-hmm. So when he asked me this, I said, absolutely. Come to my house. Come sit down and we'll have a conversation. So he came and I talked to him. I heard his story and I was like, wow. Like, well, okay. Is there a way we can contact Maya? He got a hold of her on the phone and we spoke with her while she's in the hospital. And you could tell, like, totally of sound mind, knew exactly what she wants, knew exactly what's going on. They're injecting her. She's telling them that, like, she doesn't want to be injected with whatever antipsychotic drugs, and which, mind you, actually, like, do the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. But they're giving her, like, these drugs that she's just not consenting to. She's not agreeing. She's telling them, and she's making it very clear. She was arrested by an RCMP member named Arthur Forsyth. He's from Lumbee. And this cop went to a call while she was at her, I guess she was at her mom's house or something, having a conversation with her mom. And her mom actually called the police on her. And he came there and she wasn't doing anything wrong, but ended up forcefully using physical force where he, like, threw this, she's a tiny little girl. This cop, Forsyth, he's a giant compared to her, throws her to the ground, manhandles her, puts marks all over her legs, bruises her up, and then takes her to the hospital under the Mental Health Act. Here we have a public servant who's supposed to be protecting and serving underneath the Queen, our fellow man and woman, and literally assaulting her. How is that caring for somebody? How is that helping them? So he takes her to the hospital under the Mental Health Act. She's held there against her will. She's there for about a month or so, which is a really long time, and they're wanting to extend that. So I said, yeah. After talking to her, I said, yes. I said, absolutely. So Roy put out a public notice claim of right, just like I did. Mm-hmm. It only took 3 days for enough people to answer, say yes, and a whole new set. I think there was maybe two from the first one or three from the first one. Mm-hmm. Whole new set of people from our community, like from Vernon and surrounding areas here. They came and within 3 days, we had a hearing, sat down, same thing. They were served with notice to appear. Nobody appeared. So we went ahead, held this hearing, held this trial, and they issued a release order for Maya to be released from the hospital on this specific day. So I acted, and I still do to this day, as one of Maya's 12 counsel. And counsel, what we're talking about is support women and men that are supporting fellow women and men. So we went there, we're acting as her counsel. She has 12 people that are in support of her. I went with the release order on this specific day with Roy, with Roy's partner, and myself. We went to the RCMP station in Lumbee, went there to serve them this document, and out walks Arthur Forsyth, the very same RCMP member that arrested this young woman, and told him. I said, we're coming here with a release order, we're going to the hospital, and we're coming and asking you to come to keep the peace because we are going to walk out with this young woman. And he goes, no, we're not going to be a part of your process. If any of you try to go to the hospital and walk out with her, you'll be arrested under the Criminal Code of Canada. And I said, and what crime would we have committed for holding a true common law court that has issued a release order for this woman? Mm-hmm. What crime would we be committing? Well, it's under the Criminal Code of Canada. He can't recite anything. And he goes, and if you want to talk about common law, well, let's talk about, and he went off about Sir Robert Peel. He said, Sir Robert Peel was the first to ever establish a common law court. And I'm thinking, like, Sir Robert Peel is. I'm sure if, like, he's, like, a part of common law or, like, the main founder of common law, I would have heard about him. So he makes that statement, and I'm kind of confused, thrown off about it. But stand there talking to him and said, well, regardless of your position, we're going and we're going to go to the hospital and we're going to walk out with this woman. So here's this release order, and we handed it to him. And his look on his face just kind of suddenly changed. It just, his face kind of went sullen and dropped a little bit. Like, he was like, oh, thought maybe he was in a little bit of trouble. So we just left, driving to Vernon from Lumbee, and I realized, oh, I should have got her file number, her police file number. So I call the RCMP station. I say, look, I need the Maya. I need her RCMP, the file number, and I need that document attached to her file. You need to put that on her file. So she goes, the lady, the receptionist goes, oh, well, Forsyth is on a call right now. So he's instantly on the phone as soon as we left. He's probably either talking to somebody at the hospital or talking to his higher-ups. By the time we almost like got into Vernon, coming into Vernon here, she calls back and she says, he's still on the phone. So it's quite a conversation. He's still on the phone, but here's the file number. And I said, okay, thank you. You got it attached to her file. Yes. Go to the hospital. We got a hold of Maya. She's in the hospital. And they were agreeing to let her out. They were preparing to let her out, but they were trying to force her to, and they ended up got her to sign it. But they got her to forcefully, against her will, to sign some release form that said that she'll do a consultation with them in a week or two after. So they released her on the day of that. We had this release order for her to be, we didn't even have to go in there.
So you were effective.
It's super effective. The school instantly shuts down, stops talking about the doing a vaccine mandate. This young woman instantly released from the hospital. Because here we're coming, and they know we're coming. They let her out, and they.
So you cannot be held at the hospital against your will ever.
You can't be held anywhere against your will ever under common law. No, absolutely not. Even a lot of people that are in jail, they have no. There's no reason for them to be there.
Yeah. So if a person feels they are being wrongfully held at the hospital, like I know someone right now. I'm not going to say anything because it's personal information, and I just don't want to say it, but she feels like she's being held against her will.
Yeah.
On the psych ward in the Vernon Jubilee Hospital. And I said, well, can't you just walk out, put your clothes on and walk out? And she said, oh, no. They'll, you know, I can't do that. So somehow she's been made to feel that...
That she can't.
That she can't do this of her own volition. So,
but she could, though.
But she could.
Yeah.
She could, under her own steam, just walk out of there.
Yeah.
And they could try to stop her. I mean, they can't tackle her to the ground because now there's assault.
Assault, yeah, physical assault.
So people need to know, you can walk out of a hospital if you don't feel, if you feel like you're being held there against your will.
Yeah. And in saying that, there, we also have to be mindful that there are people that have legitimate, like, you know, they have like legitimate psychoses and
absolutely
like serious issues where they do need, they need help. But even being held like that,
that's not
they're not getting the proper assistance and care that they require, and filling them with these antipsychotic drugs that literally give them suicidal thoughts and make them feel dumb and like dull inside and drained of life. That's not caring for somebody. No. They need proper nutrition. They need proper, like, a, you know, a proper routine. They need to be shown that there's people that care for and love them.
Absolutely.
And that's where, with Maya, she has now a council of 12. She has 12 essentially strangers that came together for her and are saying that we're here to support you. Roy, between her and Roy, once she got out, we did a kind of like a power of attorney sort of thing, but from a common law standpoint, where Roy's agreed to be her caretaker for the next 2 years. And that means he'll care for her financially. He'll care for her. She needs food. She needs clothing. She needs shelter. He's there for her. Mm-hmm. He's agreed to do that, and they have an agreement between themselves, and it's
kind
amazing.
Of like a ward, or is she a ward then of his in the sense that he is taking responsibility, like a surety bond, or you know how, you know, like with Tamara Leach, she's got someone who's signed a surety bond to guarantee she's not going to break her bail.
No, nothing
this
like that.
Different?
This is different. This is just an agreement that's been done through our sovereign common law court with the support of our sovereign common law court.
Yeah, and it's good that everybody in the court knows this, so they recognize him, and so there can be no funny business.
Yeah,
right?
And it's just an agreement between
the two of
Roy
them.
And herself, and Roy is just saying, he's not saying he has any power or authority over her. It's just saying that he has agreed to care for her in her time of need. That's it. That's all. And if Roy doesn't uphold that, then somebody else would step up and fulfill that for him and say, or if Roy was doing something detrimental to her, then we have the Council of 12 that would say, hey, Roy, and then we would need to take some sort of action, but that's not
going to happen. And she would need to be reasonable in her, what that even looks like.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, let's move on because we're getting our 10-minute warning. But that's the power of common law. And this is the system that we can and we will have in place.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And so, and just to finish off, Maya ended up with the being ordered to go to the for consultation. We went with her as her support, went with her. We had cameras rolling, and you should always be recording government employees at all times. We went in there with her and handed them cease and desist orders to stop. Stop contacting Maya. She told you no. It's over and done with. Here you go. So the doctors got cease and desist letters. Never heard anything from them since. It's over. It's done.
How did you determine that she was safe to take out of the hospital? Like, obviously, you only talked to her on the phone.
Yeah.
You're trusting the word of Roy.
Yeah.
You know, and the mother obviously had a story about the whole situation and the cop. So
just on the basis that she caused no harm. She didn't cause any harm. She's done no harm. She's not caused any harm to herself. She's not caused any harm to anybody else.
Right.
So there's no reason unless you're causing harm.
Okay.
That and that's common law. Unless she's causing harm, she's not they're saying that she's potentially could harm herself, but she's never what it like in the harm from her story is what it is. Is basically is years ago. It's like literally years ago where she made a comment at a restaurant saying that she wanted to go see her friend Heaven. Somebody overheard that conversation and thought that that meant that she was going to potentially commit suicide. But she was actually talking about a friend of hers who is named Heaven. So because of that whole situation, that whole mishap, they went ahead and grabbed her. They took her under that, and it's been years now. And so if she has any sort of issue, any sort of argument with her family, that's what happens. Right? They think that, oh, she's being, you know, she's out of alignment because she's not in agreement and she's arguing with somebody.
So you felt confident that this gal was not crazy.
I knew she's not crazy. And I know she's not crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and I know she's perfectly safe. She's not a harm to herself. She's not a harm to society.
Yeah.
She just needs a little bit of help.
Right.
She's awesome. She's a little bit lost, and that's all. So, the utilization of common law and where it has led with everything has driven myself to create an organization, which we call the Public Service Auditors. How this started and the Public Service Auditors is Public Service Auditors is a group of women and men who are providing private services for businesses and our fellow women and men, and businesses where are services where we will come and we will record any government employee, any government agent, and record and document their actions, and then we will, on behalf of whichever business is utilizing our services or women and men, we will hold those government employees accountable for what they are doing and what or what they have done that has caused harm to or gone against the rules that they are to uphold. This is a huge thing down in the United States. You can go online and people can look up auditors or real good ones. His name is James Freeman, or his handle on YouTube is James Freeman. There's Audit the Audit. There's a lot of them. There's all these groups down in the United States. They go out and they specifically, they'll listen to police scanners, radios, and they go out and they'll go to police calls and they film and document the police down there while they're fulfilling their duties. They know the law very well. They've educated themselves on the law and they call out all of these public servants about what they're doing and the harms that they're causing and the crimes that they're committing. And they're actually getting government agencies to completely change what they're doing and how their conduct. They're getting them to actually act professionally and actually serve people and to uphold people's common law rights. It's an amazing thing. So what happened to me back in February last year, it was on February 26, 2021, I had already been into Monashee's Wine and Spirits here in Vernon 4 times prior. The 5th time I walked in there, I had an employee walk up to me, and he came up to me and he asked me to wear a mask or put on a mask. I said, no. I said, hold on. Like, I've already come in here, I don't know how many times. I said, social distance.
In one day? In one day, bro?
No. No. And I, funny thing, this like actually made me like, I'm like, just went, that's it. I don't even need to drink. It's poison anyway. So, but.
So 4 or 5 other times without a mask.
4 or 5 other times without a mask, walked in there.
No problem.
I only had twice prior where they said something when I got to the counter, but they still let me pay. And I was like, no. Like, I'm like, and then they just let me pay and I leave. This 5th time, this young employee comes up to me and says this. I said, no, dude, I'm not getting into it with you, man. I've already been in here, I don't know how many times. I've social distance. Look at me now. Like, I'm like nowhere near people. Mm-hmm. I said, so can you please go get a manager? So he goes, gets a manager, and this lady comes up named Jackie. I said, look, Jackie, do you guys not know, like, the actual, like, difference between a policy mandate versus a law, that your employees, like, under that policy, I'm not your employee, so you can't enforce that policy upon me. And there's a notice from the BC Human Rights Commissioner for businesses to put on their door informing people that, you know, there's no reason for you to be saying anything or to be getting into these conflicts with people because of your store policy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. So, yeah, I'll bring in a copy of the notice for you within the next couple of weeks or next couple of days. Sorry. She goes, okay, that'd be great. So 2 days later, I bring in the notice from the BC Human Rights Commissioner with a letter from myself, and in that letter just kind of had like a brief little declaration of, you know, like, you can't do this to me. Mm-hmm. But I brought it in, and Jackie wasn't there. There was a different manager. All I did was I went to the front counter, and I started recording. So this information, if people go and look on our website, thenewnarrative.ca, and they scroll down, the Judicial Legal Experience Judicial Legal Experiences tab. Mm-hmm. This, what I'm sharing now, this story, all the information is under there with the video of what happened.
Right.
So, because I was recording, I put my tablet in like a little kind of folder and had it hidden, like nobody could see it. And I also wasn't pulled out so that it could only hear the audio at first. But I went in there and I recording. And I just went in there and talking to this guy, and I just gave him, there was a new manager, his name is Pete, and I said, look, here's, I just bringing in this notice from the BC Human Rights Commissioner. I kind of like put myself in a position going, you know, I work in natural law or whatever I said to him. But I'm telling him this, and I'm presenting it to him in a really respectful way, and he was belligerent and being really like aggressive towards me. I'm like, why are you being like that? Dude, I'm just coming in here. No, and then he turns to one of the girls, and he says, call the RCMP. And then he turns back to me and he goes, I just called the RCMP on you to have you removed. I said, okay, well, I'll stay right here until they get here. And he goes, that would be wonderful. So he consented to me to stay there. Mm-hmm. And then I continued on this conversation with him. And then he turns again to the lady and goes, and tell them we have a customer who refuses to wear a mask and refuses to leave the store. I said, hold on. I never refused anything. You never told me to put on a mask or to leave the store. And I'm just bringing you this notice. He says, well, I'm telling you now. I said, yeah. And I also told you that that I'm going to stand right here till the RCMP get here so that they don't think I'm fleeing. Mm-hmm. So I stood there, kept talking to him. This went on for about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And this public servant, RCMP member, Sean Miranda, he walks in, comes up behind me and introduced myself and says, hey, and he goes, this is the guy. And I, right away, I turned to him. I said, what's your name and your badge number? And he said, Constable Miranda, but he didn't give his badge number. I said, what's your badge number? And they have to identify. If I asked him for his card, he has to give me his card. Mm-hmm. He has to give me his badge number. Mm-hmm. He's not identifying himself. So then he says, let's go outside and we'll talk. I said, okay.
You're still recording?
I'm still recording. Yeah. And at this point, like I flipped the folder around so you can actually see Pete and you can actually see the store. And then you can see this cop on the video. And we start walking out the door. So there's a double set of doors going out Monashee's. And as soon as we start walking out, he asked me for my ID. So we go through the first door and I said, no, I'm not going to identify for you. He didn't identify to me. Why would I identify to him? Mm-hmm. So I said, nope, I'm not going to identify for you. Then he starts putting his black gloves on, and that means they're going to go hands-on, and he grabs the next set of double doors and holds it shut on me. And then he goes, if you're going to be hostile, he goes, you're going to be placed under arrest. And I took a step back from him. I said, dude, I said, what are you doing? I said, like, I'm not doing anything wrong. Everything you're doing is unlawful, and you're being recorded right now. And he goes, oh, that's great. And so he's threatening to arrest me when I'm just having a conversation, a civil conversation, speaking in this same tone. Mm-hmm. I spoke to Pete in this same tone the whole time. I say, dude, I'm not going to run or flee or anything. Look, there's another cop outside. Let's go step outside. He goes, yeah, let's step outside. Then he's like making it so that there's no room. And I said, dude, I'm trying to respect social distancing. He's like, that's great. Like, just doesn't care about, like, he's trying to enforce the rule of a mask, but he's completely ignoring their rule of social distancing that I've always followed throughout this pandemic, just in respect of people's, you know, their fear or their whatever. And so we finally step out. There's this other cop out there. As soon as we step out the doors, he turns to that cop and he goes, we have a gentleman here who refuses to identify. Fair enough, because I did. He also refused to identify as an RCMP member, which he has a duty to do. And then he starts to tell him that he was in there arguing and yelling and screaming at the manager. I said, hold on a sec. I wasn't arguing with anybody. Who said I was arguing? And he goes, the store manager did. And I never once heard that, anybody say that. And they instantly just grabbed me. They just grabbed me, said, you're under arrest, threw me in the back of a police car. And I said, what are you arresting me for? Mm-hmm. And he goes, for not listening. Well, that's not a crime, for not listening to you, for unlawful. If they're issuing unlawful orders, mm-hmm. you don't have to listen.
You
have a right to resist. Mm-hmm. You absolutely have a right to resist. You even, like, so then they're wanting me to state my name, and I wouldn't state my name. I just kept saying to them, good citizen. And because like I wouldn't like comply and just like play along with their little game, they decide that they're going to take me to the RCMP station where they're going to hold me for an hour and then issue me these two tickets. So they issue me two tickets, one for no mask and one for belligerent behavior. And then they just told me that I'm barred for life from this facility. Big deal, whatever. Mm-hmm. They can't do that either. So I leave, and when I went home, I instantly wrote a notice of declarations and liabilities. And it has all the rules and the regulations. I wrote their code of conduct, like their actual, like what they're supposed to follow, which is HIPCAR. It's honesty, integrity, professionalism, courtesy, accountability, respect. That's what the police are supposed to like mm-hmm. apply.
And it's 8 HIPCAR?
HIPCAR. Yeah, it's called HIPCAR. That's what the RCMP are supposed to mm-hmm. apply when they're dealing with members of the general public. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then I served them with a bill. I billed them for my time. I said, I charge $500 per hour for my time. And this is where getting into dealing with the corporate system, people who are involved in these sort of situations need to start going that like you have the right through contract law. Mm-hmm. This is what I charge per hour for any time that you're going to take from me. This is what I charge for my services or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling them, I charge $500 for my time. So you need to, if you don't revoke that ticket, I am, and it's proven that you're in the wrong, I'm going to bill you for every hour spent in dealing to resolve this matter. Mm. So I billed them every single month. I said, I'm going to dispute the ticket. And then if that ticket's still not retracted or thrown out, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to file a complaint with the police complaint commissioner. And then I'm going to go take it even further once I get the ticket thrown out. And I'm going to sue you in the Supreme Court of British Columbia. So I did this, that. I gave them the bills, billed them monthly, disputed the ticket. Finally, my ticket went to court. That was November 22nd, 2022. And it was at 8 p.m. at night, which is a really unusual time for a court hearing. Went in there.
Must have been 2021.
No, it was 2022.
Well, we're in 2022 now, and it's not November yet.
Oh, wait. Okay, yeah. 2021. Sorry, I'm thinking of the recent one. Yeah. So November 2021, November 22nd, 2021, that was my hearing. I went in there, and there was five cops were there, the cop that issued the ticket and then four others. They instantly told me and my partner, Vicky, to get out. You have to leave. You have to put on a mask or you can't be here. I'm like, this is exactly why I'm here. You gave me a letter that says to appear in person mm-hmm. on this night to have this matter heard. And you know I'm not agreeing. I'm not wearing a mask. So I started reading the orders to them, like the provincial orders. I said, this is what the orders say, that there's exemptions, lawful exemptions, legal exemptions, and it falls under the category of psychological, physical reasons, whatever. And I told them, I said, I'm pretty open about it. Mine is physical It stresses me out, so I'm not doing it. And I also don't agree because it's by agreement. I'm not agreeing to it. I've never agreed to it. So you can't force it upon somebody who hasn't agreed by voluntary consent. I state this all to them. I said, where's the judge? And then they take us into the courtroom, which was across the hall. And mind you, there was one RCMP member recording on his cell phone, and they have notices on their doors that say you're not allowed recording devices in the courtrooms. Mm. But why are they doing it? Well, their property and their jurisdiction. So going to the courtroom, and the justice of the peace and a justice of the peace and a master, they have no rights. They have no legal standing because they've never been educated in law to issue an order. But she demanded instantly, just like that cop, that I leave the public courtroom, that I put on a mask or leave the public courtroom. We won't hear this matter. We won't hear this matter. And I sat there, and I same thing. I'm kind of stood my ground and said, I'm not leaving. Like, here's the order. You guys told me to be here in person. Well, you could do it on the phone. You guys didn't give me the option. Mm-hmm. So, and regardless, like, I have every right to come here in person. Mm-hmm. And I went through this whole ordeal. Again, everything's recorded. It's on the newnarrative.ca. Even the recording, I recorded this interaction. But they kick us out of the courtroom. I stood my ground and read everything. But then they called in the sheriffs. So we now have five RCMP members surrounding us, two sheriffs, all these. So I, on public record, I said, okay, I'm leaving under duress. I'm leaving this courtroom under duress because I'm being threatened with physical violence from these people. So we walk out, go sit outside. And then I demanded, I wanted all their names. I want the justice of the peace. I want her name. I want the name of every RCMP member and all the sheriffs. None of them. The sheriff, they would not give me their names. None of them would.
Turn your mic a little bit.
But none of them would give me their names. They wouldn't provide any information. A sheriff came out and told me that the justice of the peace, she put it on the record, on the order, saying that I failed to appear, so the ticket stands. And I'm like, what? I'm sitting right here outside, available and ready, and called me in. I'm here. I'm available and ready, but you kicked me out of the public courtroom. Like, So that kicked off me introducing the public service auditors for everything that's happening within our system here, or what's going on with COVID-related. That experience made me go, okay, the public service auditors. We set up, we now have, there's nine of us in total. These are women and men that are all around the North Okanagan, Lumbee, Vernon, Salmon Arm, Enderby. We're offering our services, private services, to businesses, and that's where we will come, and we have these awesome notices for businesses to put up on their doors. There's two of these notices. One's it's a 12 by 12 notice. This is a 12 by 12 notice, and it's just really basic. It says, public notice, we are not implementing a COVID-19 vaccine passport policy or mask mandate. Our COVID-19 policy, masks are optional. Stay home if you're sick. Stay socially distanced from others if you're worried about getting sick.
So, we've seen that.
This is at
tax office, taxation office, I think.
Oh, really?
I think in Enderby, right on Cliff. I believe it's the taxation office.
We have a
office.
Few of them around. Then we have another one. We didn't get on it fast enough with the restaurants, but there's a few restaurants that have them up. There's in Lavington. I always like to promote the Midtown Bistro.
That's Midtown the one. Bistro.
Or not? Sorry, Midtown Bistro ordered them.
Wrong one.
Yeah, that's the wrong one I'm thinking of. But they ordered them first. They were one of the first to order them, but then they ended up closing doors. But Blue Nose Deli in Lavington.
Blue Nose Deli, right.
Amazing. Tanya's the owner there. She put up our notice as it was coming to a close with all the not a close, but coming to a postponement or whatever you want to call it, a little lull. But she put them up, and she still has them up. And then we have this big 12 by 18 notice, and it's the same thing, public notice. We are not implementing a COVID-19 vaccine passport policy or mask mandate, but this has all the legislative laws that our public servants are supposed to be upholding they're completely ignoring.
So that would be valuable to have.
This is super valuable.
Yeah.
And if this, nobody can argue this. This puts the actual laws right in front of government agents' faces.
Right.
So the bottom of it, We have notice to government agents, medical representatives, bylaw agents, and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. This is a privately operated business that is open and accessible to the general public. We are operating in accordance with the legislative laws of our country, Canada, including the legislative laws of our province, British Columbia, as required. We do not accept or agree to implement the government's rules, policies, and mandates in response to the virus known as SARS-CoV-2. That's we're going to change that, the wording on this. We're going to get rid of SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. We're just going to put it as all-encompassing for viruses in general.
Yeah.
But these are notices for businesses to use. Mm-hmm. And that's where if we can get more people, we know that the restrictions are coming again.
Mm-hmm.
They're planning on implementing these restrictions in mm-hmm. fall. Mm-hmm. And if we can make a go of this and mm-hmm. really get out there and promote, and this is where we really require the support of the general public. Mm-hmm. We require the support of businesses to sure. actually take these, get a hold of us
yep.
and get these notices and put these notices up.
Post
or have them on hold, like have the notices available and ready,
mm-hmm.
like be preemptive about this for when the restrictions come. Because mm-hmm. if businesses go ahead and put these up on their right away,
mm-hmm.
there's no denying mm-hmm. this. And it's coming from a legal standpoint and also common law jurisdiction.
Would this work in churches as well?
This will work everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. This is stating right there that we do not agree to implement the government's rules, policies, and mandates.
So places like the Legion, churches,
everywhere.
Businesses,
yes.
banks.
Everywhere. Your own home. At your own home.
Right.
Everywhere. This
That's
can be
great.
Utilized everywhere. So any business.
So there's a cost involved in getting these.
There is a cost involved. We there's a cost for ordering the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Our signs, I'm not exactly sure.
45, I think, is one.
It's gone up a little bit because of the prices of everything has gone up.
Yeah.
So I think we're
reasonable though.
It's very reasonable. It's a minimal expense. It'll cost the business under $300 to utilize our services.
Yep.
To stop this.
So, if, say a bylaw officer comes by and notices patrons in a restaurant not wearing a mask when there's a mask mandate, the public service auditor, you would call your public service auditor to come down and talk to the bylaw officer for you?
On their behalf. So, if anybody challenges, if bylaw comes and challenges our sign, what we advise the business to do is to tell them that, hold on, are you challenging this notice
mm-hmm.
and the laws upon this notice?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say yes, then they tell them, okay, well, you're going to have to speak to my counsel, not legal counsel.
Mm-hmm.
They're supporting women and men. They're private public service auditors. You're going to have to speak to my counsel.
Mm-hmm.
So one of us we'll come out there and we will record them. We'll have a body camera on and we'll record them in audio and video
mm-hmm.
and we'll challenge them on the very laws that they're supposed to be upholding.
Mm-hmm.
And we will hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they take any action on that business, we're willing to, on their behalf, establish a true common law court or mm-hmm. help them,
mm-hmm.
guide them. We can't be the legal representatives, but we will help guide them and teach them and educate them on how to stop this.
Wow.
On how to deal with if they any fines or anything, and mm-hmm. I guarantee that we'll get any if they anybody gets a ticket issued to them
mm-hmm.
while they have this notice on their window,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee myself that we will get that ticket thrown out.
Right,
I guarantee it.
So churches, does this only work in BC or would this work in other provinces? I'm thinking of Alberta.
This will work in anywhere. Absolutely, yeah.
I know the Whistle Stop Cafe in Mirror, Alberta. They got a big fence put around their restaurant
right.
with a big chain and lock on it so that the man couldn't even open his restaurant. And we all know what happened to Pastor Arta Pawlowski and in his church and other people. Their churches were shut down. These people were thrown in prison
right.
for and treated horribly.
Yeah.
You hear Arthur Pawlowski's story, it's just brutal how he was treated.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I just don't think that they're utilizing
common law the way they could be.
They're not utilizing the way that they could be, and they're trying to argue. A lot of those people that it sucks because people are literally trying to argue with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which are that's the government's corporate that's their jurisdiction. They own that. That's basically you going, yeah, you own my rights. It's under the charter, but I'm not agreeing with you violating the charter, but they're actually allowed to violate the charter under Section 1 if you read it. Mm. So arguing from the charter standpoint, no. Mm-hmm. Argue with these laws, these legislative laws that, yes, kind of like it's in their corporate world, but they're the ones, like these are the medical laws that they're supposed to be upholding.
Right.
And then you apply the common law.
So that's where the cloud is what's on that paper there.
What's on this paper?
And that's what will save your bacon if you own a business and you get hassled about not, either being open or not using a mask.
Absolutely. And the primary part of it is by saying we do not accept or agree.
There
or
we
agree.
Go. Because well, this is awesome. So newnarrative.ca.
Thenewnarrative.ca.
And they can contact you. They can get those signs.
They can
signs.
Email through BC Public Service Auditor at outlook.com to order the signs, to contact us, get more information. Mm-hmm. Again, go and look on. We have another tab on thenewnarrative.ca. It says right there, Public Service Auditors, go down.
Got a list of names.
And it has, we don't have a list of name of the businesses. I guess
a list of the people that are service auditors.
No, we don't have our names up there. Oh. We're doing it privately. Everything's done privately, so their names aren't known to anybody other than the business or whoever they're dealing with. So we don't put our names out there to...
I understand.
It's not out there publicly, so it's like government agents can't kind of like try to, do something untoward to them. Mm-hmm. So people can contact us. We will provide our services. We will educate them. All the information's on there. Mm-hmm. With what I've done now with this whole mask ordeal that I went through, so when I went into the courthouse and they made that, the justice of the peace did that, I appealed it. Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and appealed that, what they did in the courts, went to a judge, stood before a judge. They had the Crown Counsel there. Crown Counsel tried to argue, and their argument is just really, they really have no conscious thought of like how I don't want to use the derogatory word, but like they're like really like it's just incredible how they're detached from facts versus the lies that they're involved in. Mm-hmm. So I had this overturned. I got it overturned. Mm-hmm. I asked for specific orders, and this is a huge thing and another huge opportunity with our public service auditors. And again, the support of our community and everyone in this would be super beneficial to all society. So when I did the appeal, I asked for very specific orders. Mm-hmm. I sought orders. So I requested a judicial review of the violation ticket and the order that was issued, and then for them to overturn this justice, her name is Lori Langford's, comment order attached to the file saying, defendant refused to wear a mask, therefore I told him he had to leave the public courtroom, and I'm treating this matter as not disputed. And then I asked for an order that cancel the violation ticket. And then I wanted an order that I have a lawful right not to be wearing a mask, and that the Royal Canadian Mounted Police are going to pay the bill that I issued to them. But the key thing in this that I was requesting is that a notice to the Chief Judge of British Columbia advising that lawful rights not to wear a mask or face covering are described in both ministerial orders, MO12 and M273. Therefore, there is no reasonable grounds to search, remove, detain, or ticket to find a man, a woman, man, or child claiming a lawful right not to wear a mask or face covering, and no proof of exemption is required from any woman, man, or child claiming such a lawful right. Same thing, notice to the sheriffs. I asked for an order being issued to the sheriffs. I asked for an order being issued to the RCMP, the same order. Mm-hmm. What the judge ended up doing, he went and took a recess, went to his little back room, did whatever, came back out after hearing us, comes back out, and he says, okay, the appeal is approved, but he dismissed my orders, but set it for a retrial. So to go back to another hearing for me to dispute it. That shouldn't have happened because it was very clear. I presented all the documentation that has this binder in front of you. Mm-hmm. I presented all these factual things of the legal reasons, the lawful reasons,
right,
that they have no jurisdiction, no right to enforce this or force it upon anybody.
Yep.
What he did is he set it for a retrial, dismissed my orders. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it should have gone.
No.
But it is legitimate the way that he did do it. It's just they're going, they don't want it. They don't want to issue these orders. No. They don't want it. No. They don't want the, and that judge definitely wouldn't want to be the one to set the precedence for this. So reset it for a trial. I went to the trial this week. It was on Tuesday. And I went, showed up at the courthouse.
All prepared.
I fully prepared. I had a beautiful like presentation for the whole courts and the way that I was going to put this public servant, Sean Miranda, who had arrested me, I was going to put him on the hot seat with this.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't show up. He wasn't there. So the ticket's automatically thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just drafted, I have their final invoice, July 13th, 2022. I haven't served this upon them yet, but this is their final bill. I am going to serve this upon the superintendent, Shauna Bahar. She's the officer in charge of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police here in Vernon. Sergeant Atlasley, Sean Miranda, Hamilton, Caston, and Crown Counsel James Began, everybody that was involved and that I dealt with, I'm sending them a final bill. It adds up to quite a bit, but this isn't about the money. Attached to it, I put a legal notice. Legal notice. You have been charged under the 10 maxims of contract law and are presumed to be honoring your oath to the Queen of whom you serve. Failure to pay your bill on or before August 12th, 2022 will result in immediate legal action for enforcement and collection of payment. If your bill is not paid within 30 days of today's date, Supreme Court of British Columbia legal action will be taken against each of you named herein in your own personal capacity, including the corporations of which you work for and are employed by and serve Vernon Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Vernon RCMP, City of Vernon, and Her Majesty the Queen HMTQ. So I've now put them on notice that they are going to be taken if they don't pay this bill. They're not going to pay this bill.
Mm-hmm.
That if they don't pay it in 30 days, that myself, but public service auditors, we are going to take them to the Supreme Court of British Columbia to have this bill enforced. But also,
how much is the bill?
$400,858.53.
Whoa, that's and a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. And these are getting posted on the newnarrative.ca for people to see. And this is what people should be doing. I started billing them. Their bill only started out because they broke my iPad when this happened. So I put forward the bill for the iPad, mm-hmm, and then for my time, for the $500 that I told them, I'm charging you $500 per hour.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the start of it, it was only like $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told them after the third month that I'm going to start applying a 30% surcharge for your overdue bill.
Yeah.
So 30% every month. And then through the notice of declarations of liabilities, because an arbitrary detainment and arrest is a $75,000 government kind of payout.
Mm-hmm.
That's the precedence that's been set. So I told them that I'm going to charge each officer $10,000 for the arbitrary detainment. So I put that all in there. And then I also told them for endangerment to life and assault. The two officers that assaulted me, mm-hmm, and put my life in danger because there's a virus going around,
mm-hmm,
and they made physical contact with me,
mm-hmm,
they put me at risk of the virus,
mm-hmm,
because they're in constant contact with people they don't know,
mm-hmm,
and for no reason they grab me. They put me at risk because it's a life endangerment. So I put $100,000 charge to each of them for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're getting this bill. But the key thing, this is not about personal gain or finances.
I know.
This is an opportunity to get this before the Supreme Court of British Columbia,
mm-hmm,
and go ahead and those orders, they're not going to pay this bill, and this is exactly what I'm going to do with the support of our men and women with this. We're going to go and we're going to ask for these orders to be issued where to the RCMP, to the Sheriff's Office of British Columbia, to the Chief Judge of British Columbia, that there is no lawful or legal reason or grounds for them to be enforcing these restrictions upon people.
Right.
we're going to set the precedents.
Right on.
For wow. this. We get into the courthouse. So
good luck.
I'm meeting tomorrow with all of our public service auditors. We're going to meet at the Bean to Cup. We're meeting there at 11 a.m. We're going to go over everything. Mm-hmm. And we are gearing up for this summer, the remaining August here this summer. We're going to go full tilt, promoting, going out, talking to businesses, talking to individuals, and getting support, getting people like to actually get these signs, get mm-hmm. prepared mm-hmm. coming up September, October
yep.
for the fall to have the signs ready and that they'll have our services available. So we're requesting the public, anybody in the general public who's in support of this, again, share the information. That's the key thing out of this. And we also, donations will be a huge help because mm-hmm. we're gonna take this to court. It goes to court. And financially also, we're looking at getting our public service auditors all established with having some gear, some equipment. Like we've only got one, body camera. We have one body mm-hmm. camera right now. Mm-hmm. So we need to get another 8 body cameras. We also have like a bunch of, we have really cool shirts. It looks mm-hmm. really, and we have our business cards and everything. So the support of the community and the general public would be huge to help us like financially or sharing the information.
Sure.
So again, anybody can go to thenewnarrative.ca. They can check out all the information. They can share the information. Anybody from the general public, if you're a member of the, from the government agency and you're out there listening, you have mm-hmm. no right to go to our website, and if you do, you owe us $50,000. But so the support of the community would be amazing and great. This is yeah. we're at the point where we do have the opportunity. There's so much information known now.
Yeah.
So again, you can contact us on bcpublicserviceauditor.ca, or you can send e-transfers to the bcpublicserviceauditor.ca. If you send an e-transfer and
is this one at Outlook?
Am I saying .ca again?
Yeah.
Yes.
Try it again.
William, can you edit that out?
Take the timestamp there, Hun, so you know where it is.
Our email is bcpublicserviceauditor.com. So people can email us to request any information, any questions that they have, or if people want to support us financially and send us a donation so that we can, you know, do these things. Again, it's bcpublicserviceauditor@outlook.com. And if people are going to send a financial donation that's earmarked or dedicated for the public service auditors, we just request that you put on the subject line, just put public service auditor support mm-hmm. or PSA support, and then we'll know where that money's to go to.
Sure. So,
yeah.
Okay. Sounds wonderful. Well, this has been hugely informative, educational, and it feels very hopeful, and it feels like people have a tool to fight back. Because we all sense that there's so much injustice happening, and yet we don't know where to turn and where's my power, right? Where can I get my power? So this is it. So I was just saying earlier that you're a real gift to the community, and we're very grateful for all the work you're doing. I mean, the hours and hours and hours of research and all these documents that you're writing up, and the very fact that you're educating yourself on behalf of the community so that we have a chance, a leg to stand on, and hope. I think that's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
So thanks very much, Brad.
Okay. Thank you, Penny, okay. William.
Okay, we'll be posting this in the next few days. And we were just informed by Tal that, what was the name of the website? I've forgotten. Vernon United is taking a break for the summer. So I'm not exactly sure how we'll get the word out about this one. But just keep looking at North Okanagan Shuswap Freedom Radio at the link. And hopefully you'll get lucky and you'll get to hear Brad speak. So also, if you're super interested, you could maybe give Brad a call and say, could you send me directly to your link? And that's shared on William's iCloud.
Amazing, yeah.
Am I saying that right, William?
Yeah, it's a OneDrive. It's on the cloud.
On the cloud, on William's OneDrive, and that'll take you right to all the collection of talks, and you can just listen at your leisure, so they're not in a string form, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A loop. Okay, Brad, thanks again, and thanks to William for all his time, and thanks to Tal for the studio.
Penny and William, thank you for doing all this. It's amazing. And
okay,
getting
good.
The information out
good,
to people.
Good, good. Yeah. Oh, it's important. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good day. Thank you.
Thanks.